today happened in Europe, and it was pretty damn spectacular. If you missed it, a good thing you're listening here tonight. I'll tell you what it was. Good to be with you tonight, Thursday evening, 7 p.m. or so. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We are live from Orange County, from the Sweet James Studios. And, we're on the right side of the Orange Curtain, you could say. So safely nestled here in beautiful conservative Orange County. Did you see the President of the United States put in a word for you and I today at that NATO summit? Pretty incredible stuff, because if you're like me for the last 8 years, you observed with great displeasure a president who traveled around the world and apologized on our behalf and put world concerns and world problems ahead of our own. And now a new sheriff is in town. President Trump, the Trumpster himself, was in NATO in Brussels. They had a NATO summit there. And you got to picture this. There are all the NATO leaders at the summit. These are all mostly very European-looking men. Did you notice the one blonde? Forget what country she was from. Eastern Bloc country, I believe. And I looked at her and I thought, she got Trump's attention. It was just a thing. I just looked at that and noted that there was some degree of attention there. But I looked at I'm just talking about the imagery here. So humor me. I'm looking at at Trump getting there in the group picture. And you heard, of course, how he was muscling his way in. He pushed some of these lanky European types right out of the way. Muscled his way into the front of the group, because that's what you do when you're an alpha male like Trump. So he elbows his way in and kind of shoves them to the side. Trump's a big guy. He's not just a tall guy. He's a big guy. So it should have been fairly easy. He didn't sucker punch anybody or drop them to the ground like they do in Montana. But he did muscle his way through. And they all kind of look puny. I'm going to say that, and I say it with a great degree of respect to all these individual countries, but these leaders, for the most part, left-wingers, European socialists, and they all look like grown-up pajama boys. I'm looking at them, and I see the effects of generational wussification. And Trump goes in there and just, hey, move out of the way. And then stands up at the podium to deliver his remarks. I couldn't believe it. No, I mean, of course I can, because it's Trump, but it was spectacular. We had our president for the first time speaking to Europeans and actually brought you and me up. Do you know that? He talked about us. You want to have... Okay, play. Here's a snippet of exactly what I'm talking about. He's complaining about the money. There's a great deal of cost that has to do with defense as part of the NATO Charter. And under the terms of the NATO Charter, member countries, signatories to the agreement, must spend upwards of 2% of their GDP. On defense. And of course, the terrible thing here is that the U.S., they haven't been doing this for years and years. Some countries have been spending less than 1%. So you've got these deficits that have been accruing. The budget, meanwhile, for NATO continues to increase year over year. Expenses go up. And who is making up the difference? That's right. Uncle Sam. And that basically means you and I, from our hard-earned hard-earned tax dollars that we send to the government every year. So here is what Trump said to these European socialist wusses, and they all are standing behind him, as sour face as could be, listening to this.
I have been very, very direct with Secretary Stoltenberg and members of the alliance in saying that NATO members must finally contribute their fair share and meet their financial obligations. But 23 of the 28 member nations are still not paying what they should be paying and what they are supposed to be paying for their defense. This is not fair to the people and taxpayers of the United States.
I couldn't believe it. He actually brought us up. No, Obama never brought us up. I mean, we were chopped liver. He'd go abroad and apologize for, you know, us rubes back home and how backwards we were with our thinking about Muslims and about the world. And he, Obama himself, considered himself this prototypical sophisticate. If only the rest of America could be as enlightened as Obama was, you know, the world would, of course, be a better place, and there'd be greater global harmony, et cetera, et cetera. So this was big, and the theme, the speech that he gave continued this thematic structure. It was as if one direct, you know, bullet between the eyes was being fired, you know, bang, bang, right after the other. And these guys, you saw the headlines today. Members, leaders of NATO countries began smirking as Trump was delivering his remarks. I'm glad. Yeah, good. I'm glad they were smirking. Glad somebody. Yeah, I mean, of course they're smirking. These are a bunch of freeloaders. That is what it is. Freeloaders. And we talk about our upside down budget, and I got into some of the details of that last night. But you see, I mean, we cannot continue to fund this this way. And it is Trump doing what he promised to do during the campaign. You know, there is some debate as to whether he would actually do this if he was going to be this direct, because, you know, he went to Saudi Arabia after blasting the Saudis throughout the campaign and appeared to be making nice with them overall. Although I'll tell you, the speech there was direct and then some. McClatchy, D.C., newspaper there, their online edition. There's a Franco Ordonez, I think I'm pronouncing that right, Ordonez. And he was writing from Brussels on this 2 days before Trump showed up. And the title of the piece was, "Trump has done what Obama didn't, scare NATO into closer tracking of defense spending." And in the piece, he acknowledges that Obama back in the day tried to raise this issue with NATO. Now listen, you heard his speech, right? You heard what Trump just said. I'm going to read to you. These are the best quotes that this author writing for McClatchy could find. And this is Obama. This is the contrast to Trump's undiplomatic rhetoric. It says, he wasn't the first to raise concerns. President Barack Obama had frequently lamented NATO members' failure to spend enough on defense. And then here's the Obama quote. Citing Russia's annexation of Ukraine's Crimea region, Obama said, "The situation reminds us that our freedom isn't free." Now, I've always told you, I from the very beginning, you don't get people's attention by coming in with a conciliatory tone. This is one of the important things if you want to understand Trump. And right now, like it or not, we're living in an era of Trump, and we're in it 100 odd days, 120, 130 days. And even the Democrats right now are abandoning any you know, any noise about impeachment. So we're going to have the Trumpster around for a few years. So it's important to understand him and how he operates. He's going to come in strong. And here's another great mystery explained for all of you. When you come in strong, you get people's attention. Obama then sent Robert Gates, defense secretary, and he met with NATO leaders. And he said that, you know, hey, younger U.S. politicians, those for whom the Cold War was not the formative experience that it was for me, might abandon the defense alliance, NATO, if allies don't carry a greater portion of the load. Still, it's mealy mouth. It's so simple. Trump said, pay up. It's not fair to the U.S. taxpayers. And by the way, you have a deficit. Cough it up. This is good. This is good. This isn't us abandoning our allies. This is us holding our allies accountable. And every good partnership requires reciprocity. Nobody wants a freeloader. And I'll tell you something else on this. Now, I say it as a quasi-European myself. I am a Europhile. I like Europe, and it's where my family is from. And my parents' country, the Czech Republic, is a member of NATO. There is something terrifically, unappealingly smug about Europeans when you hear it. I hear it certainly when I travel, lecturing us about, well, now with Trump, but even before, you Americans, you know the story. You Americans, you rubes, you're so uncouth. You need to, your social policies, you should really take care of people. During the great healthcare debate, I heard it all the time from my European friends. I can't believe you let people die on the streets in America, which of course is nonsense, but that's the kind of thing that they would say to us. And then we come to find out, certainly we weren't hearing it from Obama, but the issue was raised by Trump and others, that, hey, these guys are freeloading off of us. We are paying real money, billions and billions of dollars, to provide defense to these countries in Europe. And the same countries, their same politicians, their same political pontificators there are doing what? Yakking about it, about how we as Americans need to learn a thing or two from them. This totally reminds me, by the way, of when you've got a kid, a spoiled kid, and his parents pay for his entire lifestyle. The kid's got some trust fund or whatever. And the kid comes over to the parents' house and lectures them about the glories of socialism. Right? This is my worst nightmare. It's not going to happen, by the way. But my worst nightmare would be that I'd be sitting at home and my 24-year-old son at, whatever would that be, 15 years from now? 15 years. Oh, my gosh, that's not that far away. Shoot. Anyway, but that he would come home and start lecturing me about the glories of socialism. Yeah, I don't know what I would do. Body slamming might be an option. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. One troubling thing did come out of this meeting, though, in Brussels, and that is Theresa May pulls Trump aside and, according to reports, voices her tremendous displeasure at the leaks related to the investigation into the Manchester bombing. And this here is a critical piece of news today that you need to know more about, because while Trump is there legitimately airing grievances, our grievances with Europe, in my opinion, this particular concern raised by the British is 100% fair. What happens is the British share intelligence with us, and they did so here related to this bombing. And the intelligence shared included not just details about what suspects were believed to have been involved, but also photographs of the bomb and of the scene. and these particular things had leaked out, made their way out to, not unsurprisingly, the New York Times and others. It's getting ridiculous, this leaking thing. When I come back, let me tell you what I think about these leaks, because there's this talk, well, these leaks help Trump. You know, this was a potentially a pro-Trump leak. I'm going to explain to you how that works, and it help. I want to get into the mind of the leaker. That's the most important thing here. Okay, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, back right after this.
Talk radio. Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here. Okay. Talking about these leaks, the latest leaks now involve the Manchester bomb probe. And Trump has apparently asked the Justice Department to investigate them. But let's step back from this for a second. I want you to imagine, first of all, I think even within the Trump administration, there are not everybody in the Trump administration who is a political appointee put in there by Trump is necessarily a Trump person. I'll give you the example of Rance Priebus. Now, the primaries. I mean, he was hardly a Trump guy. So he comes on board later, but he's got his own people and they're loyal to the RNC. I've explained all this before. Now, do you know how it feels? Let's just for a minute suppose that you can draw on your own experiences from wherever you live. And let's say you live, I don't know, in Tarzana. Just random spot I'm picking. And in Tarzana, you are a Trump supporter or somebody you know is a Trump supporter. And they say, I love Trump. They declare that in, I don't know, maybe some kind of like water cooler conversation somewhere at work. What kind of reactions do you get when that happens? Well, unless you work in a gun store I'm telling you, most of the cases, the response you get is not good. It's why most people who sympathize with Trump or like Trump or, you know, voted for him and still like him are very quiet about their views. You don't see a bunch of, you know, we talked about the stickers on cars, that type of thing. You don't see it. Now, that's Tarzana. Imagine I'm transporting you. I'm taking your pro-Trump view or your friend's pro-Trump view, and I'm taking you and placing you in the middle of the swamp. Now you're in Washington, D.C. And Washington, D.C. is an insider's paradise. If you've been, you know what I'm talking about. There are no big companies in D.C. There's no big business in D.C. except for politics. Politics is the business in D.C. And so everywhere you go, in some way, everyone pretty much, unless they work in a bagel shop, is their living comes from working in politics. Now you got a Trump guy. Trump-type president. It doesn't have to be Trump. It could be anybody who threatens to upend business as usual. And everyone feels threatened by it. And I only bring all this up to make it obvious to you that being in Washington, D.C. as a Trump person is not cool. It is the epitome of uncool. It's like showing up to school in, I don't know, high-top sneakers when sandals are in. Or like I did, went to school in the fourth grade with plaid shorts and striped socks. Did not go over well. True story. So these people who work inside the Trump White House that might be Republicans but aren't diehard Trump loyalists, they have to go out and about. Do you remember that video of Sean Spicer getting attacked at the Apple store? He went to the Apple store. He's going to buy himself an iPod Touch or whatever the hell he's buying. And he literally gets mobbed by some crazy left-wing nut. But things like that on a smaller scale are happening all the time. I promise you this. And so, think about this. It starts to get pretty lonely if you're in the Trump White House. And I don't care if you're put in there by Trump, or if you're a holdover from the Obama era. But what do you want to do to fit into that, into your group, into your surroundings? You've got to be a resistor. And part of that resistance is talking to reporters, currying favor with reporters, and leaking, because that's the only way that you buy the affection of the establishment in which you live. So I'm going to explain to you more about how this all works and give you some examples of it, because I think that this is something nobody's talking about. No, people are looking at all these leakers, but they don't understand the motive behind it. Until you know to understand the motive, then we will know how to stop it. All right, Sam Rojofsky, we'll be back after the news, provided by none other than John Wolf.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
And we are back. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KBC, 1-800-222-5222 if you want to be on the program, or my email address, sam@samnation.com. Okay, the leaks coming out of the Trump White House are out of control. We know this. And I'm trying to explain to you the mind of the leaker. The motives of these people who are blabbing to the media left and right. By the way, did you notice that during this tour, for as long as Trump has been out of the country, there have been no leaks from the road trip itself? I can't think of one example of any information leaking from Air Force One. For example, maybe Trump should just move the entire West Wing into Air Force One, fly it around up in the air. I'm just telling you. Do you know why this is, by the way? The flying White House is what it's called, Air Force One. And it actually has everything on board, but in a miniaturized scaled down version of what you have when the White House is in the White House on the ground, the actual building. And so my theory on it is he's traveling with a smaller group of aides. The smaller group of aides, there's fewer people working the phones. These are people that are active duty in the Air Force. And Robbie, those are your people, so you're nodding in there. You approve that the Air Force, they don't talk, right? They're tight-lipped. But do you see what I'm... Oh, he's shaking his head. Well, but to my point, there's fewer people, and therefore, it would be a lot easier to track a source of a leak. But this is what they're going to have to do in the White House. They're going to have to sit down and compartmentalize information, get back to very, very strict protocols on who knows what, and get it to the point where you really can trace information that is being sent out. I will give you an example of leaks that are unacceptable. And just it goes beyond just this Manchester bomb probe where... And you know why this is so grave, right? This is such a problem because apparently somebody inside the White House is leaking out information about this investigation that the authorities in Great Britain are not releasing publicly because they want to round up suspects, arrest people, persons of interest, and they want to get these people. And now these people are being tipped off in advance of police operations that they're being sought by the authorities. That, my friends, is a problem. But I remember the incident I told you about, the big brouhaha on the New York Times about Trump foolishly, stupidly sharing intel with the Russians, with Lavrov and Kislyak in the Oval Office. And without, you know, without any care of the sources that would be revealed to the Russians. And my point was, now that we're reading it on the front page of the New York Times, now those sources have truly been compromised because we broadcast this private information all over the world. There's no guarantee, or I would actually argue there's a strong guarantee that it wouldn't be broadcast if it was just between the five or six people that were in the room talking about the intelligence. The consequences of sharing information is grave. The other issue I have, by the way, you saw all these confidential conversations that happened with Trump and world leaders, like in Saudi Arabia. But every time he has a phone call from the Oval Office, it gets out within 48 hours. That is crap. What world leader is going to want to have an honest and frank discussion with the President of the United States, knowing that the transcript of it is going to be at the Washington Post the next day? Not going to happen. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Talk Radio. Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
The example that I gave you of Trump relaying classified information to the Russians and then it getting into the New York Times front page, and how I told you that that actually is the more damning, more serious concern in light of all the facts that we have available. You know who agrees with me? That's right. Former CIA Director John Brennan, when he testified on Tuesday. I'm going to go back to this testimony because it illustrates the very point that is again relevant today with information that the Manchester bomb probe that's going on in Great Britain, we have an intel sharing agreement with the UK. And this information is being now leaked out to the press, including photos. There are pictures of the detonator, descriptions of the type of detonator used. It's become clear that the bomb was much more sophisticated than originally reported, but also details about what suspects are being sought. And this is a problem, of course, because, well, the police in Great Britain are still looking for these guys and want to round them up and want to put them under surveillance and potentially catch them doing something else, potentially. So it's a bad thing. On Tuesday, when Adam Schiff, Congressman, California Democrat, and chief Trump inquisitor in the House, asked John Brennan, hey, what concerns might you have if the allegations are accurate about sharing information that we may have obtained from an intelligence partner? He's talking about the partner was later disclosed to have been Israel, and the information that Trump disclosed was to the Russians. That scenario. And Schiff asks Brennan, what impact do you think that might have on not only that partner, but other intelligence partners' willingness to share intelligence with the United States? And here's Brennan's response.
Before sharing any classified intelligence with foreign partners, it needs to go back to the originating agency to make sure that the language in it is not, even just providing the substance, going to reveal sources and methods and compromise the future collection capability. So it appears as though, at least from the press reports, that neither did it go in the proper channels, nor did the originating agency have the opportunity to clear language for it. So that is a problem. What I was very concerned about, though, is the subsequent releases of what appears to be classified information purporting to point to the originator of the information, liaison partners. These continue to be very, very damaging leaks, and I find them appalling, and they need to be tracked down. So that was where the damage came from, I think, that it was released in the press.
Bingo. And I, you know, what else is there to add to that? It's exactly the point that I made last week when all this news broke. I told you the problem isn't what Trump did in the confines of the Oval Office speaking to the Russian foreign minister and the Russian ambassador to the U.S. The problem here is that I'm reading to you what happened in the room, and I can give you very specific detail. That, I told you at the time, was the key problem. And yet the mainstream media continued to report it as Trump is a buffoon and Trump's an idiot and Trump's a child playing in a grown-up world. You know, this is actually part of what I want to explain to you. I think that the tide, this tide of really bad and damaging press against Trump and this effort to really out and out oust him and delegitimize his presidency, some are even calling it a coup. This effort here is going to start to lose steam. I mean, you have the crazies out there, I get it, but at some point, Brennan, this guy voted for a Communist Party candidate back in the 80s. Brennan's a, I told you, he's a total lib. Obama transition team, Obama White House, this guy is a committed left-wing Democrat Party operator. I don't care how many years he has in the CIA, he has a bias, and it's not pro-Trump. So when you start to get people who are on that side taking a question directed from a Democratic congressman that is intent to set up Trump for a fall, and Brennan turns it around and uses it as an opportunity to slam the New York Times and the people that are giving that information to the Times, that starts to look and smell like a turning point for me. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
All right, welcome back. Sam Rejofsky here. What do you do if you get into a car accident and you've got the other side's insurance company calling you? They're calling you, they want to help you, they want to talk to you. Well, you don't do it. You don't call them. You don't pick up the phone call, say, hey, I'm sorry. I have a lawyer, and his name is Attorney Sweet James Bergner. And then you hang up on him, and you call Sweet James, and you say, hey, help me out. That is actually exactly what you ought to do, because you don't want to be stuck talking to them, okay? Anything that they ask you, that they talk to you about, it's all designed to help them get information that they will use against you. Don't do it. Call Sweet James, get a free consultation. He'll help you figure out what to do on your case. And most importantly, he'll make sure that your rights are preserved. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021 is his phone number. And you can also visit him on his website, sweetjames.com. All right. Did you see this bit of news about the travel ban? Another court of appeals has shut it down, so it's now headed up to the Supreme Court. And I want to explain this to you in terms that are very simple, because there are a number of very sophisticated lawyers that are talking on TV about this, and they're making a mess of it. So I will, as a less sophisticated lawyer, I will try to help you navigate this. Do you remember Obamacare? So just put Obamacare in the back of your mind, and let's talk about this travel ban. The reason that the courts are shutting down the travel ban is because they're saying, yes, on paper, on the four corners of the document, the executive order itself may be constitutional. It's within the president's prerogatives. It's not inappropriate in any particular way. But these courts are all saying, but we have heard the president's inflammatory rhetoric. We have heard his words, his talk about banning Muslims. Ooh. And so, by implication, his intent here in this executive order and with this law is to ban Muslims from the country. Okay. So this is an example of the court bending over backwards. And we're talking about these appellate courts, right, that are bending over backwards to use the intent of the person, of the legislature, and in this case, the president, the chief executive, in drafting this law. And they're looking at his comments, not even from when he was president, but when he was campaigning, which to my knowledge has never been done. Do you remember Obamacare? Because I asked you to just put that over off to the side for a second. You remember that case that challenged it, the Sebelius case? It went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And do you remember how it ended up? Well, of course you do, because we have Obamacare now. So Obamacare survived. And the whole challenge to Obamacare was you can't force citizens to buy a product. And the whole time, that's how Obama described it. And that's how everyone on Capitol Hill described it. We're going to force people to buy insurance. And the Supreme Court came in and said, you know, it's not really that, you know, in spite of everything that was said, it's a tax. And they came up with a completely different word that wasn't even used. So I'm just telling you, we live in crazy land, because in one case, they're using words that are far removed from the time that the document was drafted. In the other case, they're making up language. It's an example of courts going where they will go, regardless of the actual facts or the law. We'll see how this turns out as it unfolds. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, back tomorrow night at 7. Can't stop, addicted to the shindig. Chop, chop, it says I'm